Pre-Columbian land systems were quite complex. The Western distinction between public and private property really did not hold for indigenous communities. There was a variety of corporate land. For example, there would be land set aside where everyone would have access if they needed it. There would be land which people would work in order to support the local ruler, the cacique or the batab. There would be land that would be worked to support the local temple. In a case where the community had been conquered by, let's say, the Aztecs, then a certain amount of land would be worked collectively in order to pay the community's tributes. The majority of land was held by individual households, but still was not private property as we understand the term. They usually could not alienate the land. It would be passed on to their children, but in some sense it still belonged to the larger community. Land sales had to be approved by the town council. They would interview people and they would make sure that the person that this land was being transferred to would handle it correctly. So it was still a corporate decision. In pre-Columbian times, you could not dispose of the land to someone outside the community. If, let's say, you had no children and the parents die, then the land reverts to the community and is reallocated by the authorities. This is not necessarily an egalitarian system. Some families might have much more land than other families. And the nobles also had access to land that commoners didn't. So it's not necessarily an egalitarian system, but it's also not a system in which people own land in our Western sense of the term. So even before the conquest, you have this very powerful tradition of land belonging to communities. And this is one of the reasons that Indian communities were quite successful in defending their rights to land over the colonial period.